Morning. It's good to be here this morning. Appreciate the opportunity to speak to you and start this gospel meeting. The one thing I've learned is that we as saints ought to learn to appreciate who we are and what we have from the Lord. We are in a good place. Serving God and worshiping God according to His will, we are in a good place, and we ought to remember that. If we stay faithful at the end of time, then God will keep us in a wonderful place. So, I know the theme is man's problems and God's solution. And so, when I thought about that, is this on? Can you hear me? When I thought about that, I thought about worship. Man has to understand that there's a problem with worship. And we have to be encouraged and understand that when we worship God according to His will, we are in a good place. And so people have to recognize that there's a problem with worship, and we still have to discuss the issue of denominationalism. When you get into that, that changes the worship of God. Now, some don't want to bring up the name denominationalism. They don't want to talk about it. I believe that's Satan's biggest workshop, to not discuss it. I want you to turn to Exodus 40 as we deal with this. Now, God has always desired for His creation to worship Him. There were ways to worship Him in the Old Testament. Of course, we know that's in the New Testament, but you got the patriarchs who worshiped Him, those, the Israelites who worshiped Him, and those who were pleasing to God that did it according to His law, according to His will. And I'm going to read something, but I want you to hold your place at Exodus 40. If you want to stay, go with me to John 4, that's fine, but I want to read this quickly. In verse 21, Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem shall you worship the Father. You worship that which you do not know." See, they were worshiping the wrong way. See, we worship that which we know, for salvation is from the Jews. So there was a wrong way to worship, and there was a right way to worship. Still is. But an hour is coming, notice this, and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Such people the Father seeks to be His worshipers. You see? Such people the Father seeks to be His worshipers. In verse 24, God is a spirit, and those who worship Him must, see that, must worship Him in spirit and in truth. You don't have a choice. You must. Now, what we're going to do, we're going to start off in the Old Testament. And we're going to, these lessons will follow. One will come after the other. And so they're all going to tie in together. So in Exodus 40, now, I want to show you something. This is, I want to show you that God is extremely serious about His worship. He never did take things lightly, and he never will. And sometimes we take things too lightly. But people will pay for tampering with God's worship. Members of the church who consider themselves to be worshipers will pay when they tamper with the worship of God. I like Exodus 40 because God is going to tell Moses how to build the tabernacle. In Leviticus, he's going to tell them what to do when they get in there. So he's going to build the place of worship. Watch this. In verse 40, or rather chapter 40, in verse 1, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, on the first day of the month you shall set up the tabernacle of tent meetings. See? And so he's going to build a place of worship where you can show respect and homage to God. God is doing this. So God is setting up this place of worship. Remember, this is God's idea. It's not Moses. He's going to build this tabernacle of the tent of meeting. That's where God's going to speak to Moses. Verse 5, moreover, you shall set the gold altar of incense before the ark of the testimony and set up the veil for the doorway of the tabernacle. So he's telling them what to do. And you shall set up the altar, a burnt offering, in front of the doorway of the tabernacle of the tent meeting. And so he's telling them what he needs to do. Verse 10, you shall anoint the altar of burnt offerings and all utensils and consecrate the altar, and the altar shall be most holy. 12, then you shall bring Aaron and his sons to the doorway of the tent meetings and wash them with water. See, we're not going there, but these things lead us to a shadow of baptism. So notice verse 16. Then Moses did according to all that the Lord had commanded him, so he did. Hebrews 8:5, God told Moses, you shall make all things according to the pattern which was shown you on the mountain. So this is the tabernacle. Now Leviticus follows right after Exodus. They go together. When we get to Leviticus, this is what I want you to do when you get in there. This is how I want you to put it together. This is the design. Hebrews 8:5, Moses followed the pattern. Now, once you do what I require you to do, when it's finished, this is what I want you to do when you get in there. See, in other words, this is how I want you to worship me. This is what I want you to tell the people. I want you to tell people how to worship me, the Israelites. But notice this, and if you stay with me, you'll see what I'm talking about. In verse 34, when Moses did what was required to do, then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. See, God was pleased with Moses because Moses did all things according to the pattern. And so the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tent of meetings because the cloud had settled on it and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Now, we're not going to go in detail about this, but as we move on this morning and tonight, we're going to hit that again because he's going to say that again with the temple. He's going to say it again when it pertains to the church. And so God is with this tabernacle. Now, remember the difference between the tabernacle and the temple is that the temple was stationary. And the tabernacle, they could move around. They could build it up. You had the Levites and the priests. Levites would work to take things down, build them up, carry it the way God said to carry it. Of course, the priests work with the blood. Then you have the high priest. And so they could move around in this tabernacle. The temple was in Jerusalem. It was stationary. You see? And so we're not going to go there, but we know that Moses was told to follow the pattern, and we know that Solomon was the one who built the temple. And so in verse 36, and throughout all their journeys, whenever the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the sons of Israel would set out. Now watch this. Turn to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 7. Now if you look at verse 34 again, then the cloud covered the tent of meetings, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. God was there, showing his approval. It was so much that Moses was not able to enter the tent of meetings because the cloud had settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses could not even enter the tent, or couldn't see. It was filled with the glory because he did everything according to the pattern. Remember in chapter 14, verse 16, thus Moses did according to all that the Lord had commanded him, so he, the glory of the Lord, filled the tabernacle. Why? Because again, verse 16, thus Moses did according to all the Lord had commanded him, so he did, and God was satisfied with that. See? Now watch this. Love this. 2 Samuel 7, 1 through 6. David had an idea. You know, David meant well, that he's going to build a house for God. So God is going to discuss this with David. David was a man, God's own heart. Now it came about when the king lived in his house, and the Lord had given him rest on every side from all his enemies, that the king said to Nathan the prophet, see now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells within the tent curtains. See, David, in his mind, it's not fair. So I want to build something for the Lord. And Nathan said to the king, go, do all that is in your mind, for the Lord is with you. Nathan thought, that's a wonderful idea. Shows David's humility, shows the type of man he was. But it came about in the same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, go and say to my servant David, thus said the Lord, are you the one who should build me a house to dwell in? David meant well, he just wasn't getting it. For I have not dwelt in a house since the day I brought you up, since the day I brought up the sons of Israel from Egypt, even to this day, but I have been moving up. Listen to this. Now watch, just I want you to see. But I have been moving about in the tent, even in a tabernacle. See? I want to read that again. For I have not dwelt, verse 6, I have not dwelt in a house since the day I brought up the sons of Israel from Egypt, even to this day, but I have been moving about in a tent, even in a tabernacle. Now watch. So God is there. Now I'm going back to Exodus 40 and verse 34. See, I love this. I have been moving about in the tent, even in a tabernacle. So God, when God was with the Jews, God was in the tabernacle. He spoke to Moses in the tabernacle. And notice what, then I'm going to read this again in 40:34. Then the cloud covered the tent of meetings, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. See? And throughout all their journeys, whenever the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the sons of Israel would set out. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not set out until the day when it was taken up. For throughout all their journeys, the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day, and there was fire in it by night, and in the sight of all the house of Israel. Wow. You see, God was with them. I love that. Love the way he says that. Moving around in the tabernacle. For I have dwelt in a house since the day, I have not dwelt in a house since the day I brought you up, brought up the son of Israel from Egypt, even to this day. But I have been moving about in the tent, even in the tabernacle. So God was with them. Remember, why? Because Moses did according to all that the Lord had commanded him, so he did. Hebrews 8, 5, again, you make all these things according to a pattern which was shown you on the mountain. So God was there with them. He traveled with them because they did everything according to his will, according to his commandments. So notice Leviticus now. We're going to get into what you do when you get in there. Now, I'm starting here, but I'm going to follow up after this again, and then tonight it's all going to work together. And so in Leviticus now, this is what you do when you get in there. In other words, this is how you worship me when you get in there. God has never allowed mankind to worship him any kind of way. Never. Listen to me. Never. I'm not going to go here this morning, but it's very interesting when we get into sacrifices and the burnt offerings and the grain offerings, the sin offerings. Before the law of Moses came into existence, the patriarchs were doing the same thing. You see, when Abraham was going to sacrifice his son Isaac, he was a burnt offering. He was going to be the burnt offering. You see the burnt offering in the book of Leviticus, Leviticus chapter 1. And so God started the process how to worship him before the law of Moses. The patriarchs worshiped him. Job was not a Jew. Job was a patriarch. And he worshiped God. He sacrificed God according to God's will. And when you get into the written word, when you get into, or rather what Moses wrote down, then you go back and you recognize the patriarchs were doing what God required them to do. Very, very interesting. So the patriarchs could not even worship God the way they wanted to worship him. They had to worship God according to his will. And so Leviticus chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and you get into the book, this is how I want you to worship me. Leviticus chapter 1, the burnt offering. Leviticus chapter 2, the grain offering. Leviticus chapter 3, the peace offering. Leviticus chapter 4, the sin offering. This is how you worship me. But notice this. I want you to follow me. Notice how this works. Now, Leviticus is how I want you to do it. Exodus, this is how I want you to build it. Leviticus, this is what I want you to do when you get in there. This is how I want you to worship me. Notice that God set the standards. God set the requirements. It was God's commandments. This is what I want you to do. You don't do what you want to do. And see, that's what we get into. When you get into denominationalism, you get into different avenues of worship. It becomes the devil's workshop. And see, we're not careful, then we... when I say we, I mean we in general. We're almost in agreement with it. Let it go. No, it's the devil's workshop, because when you tamper with God's worship, you sin against God, and there is no salvation for you. That's reality. Now, I'm saying that not because of my emotions. I'm saying that because of intellect. It's in the Old Testament as well as the New. And so that's a warning that we should not tamper with God's worship service. And we as Christians should be excited that we are worshiping God correctly. See, I should be excited. Not, I shouldn't compare that worship to my worship. I should be excited that I am looking, I was able to look at this book, at the design, and worship God according to his will. And I'm singing praises to God. I'm giving according to the gospel. I'm hearing the word of God. I'm taking communion according to the will of God. I'm excited. I'm glad to be here. Because when you get into the Old Testament, there were many who were excited to worship God, excited about it, because they were doing it according to his will, and they loved him. But notice this. Leviticus chapter 1 and verse 1. Then the Lord called Moses and spoke to him in a tent of meeting. Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them. See? This is how you're going to do this. Speak to them. Now notice this. Move on. Chapter 4, verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the sons of Israel, saying. See? 6:1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, when a person sins, acts unfaithfully against the Lord, and he's giving them a way out. That's a guilt offering. Look at verse 8. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. See, he's giving them the design. This is what they do. And this is how they do it. It's how you do it. Skip over to 8:1. Look at verse chapter 8 and verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take Aaron and his sons with him, and the garments, and the anointing oil, and the bull of the sin offering, and the two rams, and the basket of the unleavened bread. This is how you're going to do this. See? Look at chapter 12, verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the sons of Israel when a woman gives birth. See? So Moses did according to... Moses not only followed the pattern when it came to building a tabernacle, but he also told them what God required them to do when they got in there. Moses did what God required him to do when he went in there. When they built it, it was time to work. You see, when you build it, it's time to work. This is what you do when you get into the tabernacle. It's very interesting that how, I'm not going to get ahead of myself, but we are the temple, and you have the tabernacle belonged to God. God was with them. We saw that. And God told them how to worship him within a tabernacle. You have the temple that Solomon built, but it was by God's design. And when it was built, God told them, this is what I want you to do when you get in. This is how you worship me. This is the place of worship. When we get into the New Testament, we are the temple. And for some reason, it's the same design. This is the temple. This is how you serve me. This is how you worship me when you get in there. But we, in our society today, people think they can do whatever they want to do and how they want to do it. It's not going to work. It's not going to fly. It's not going to happen. It's a warning. Let me show you something. What's Solomon? Solomon was, no, let me go to Leviticus chapter 10. I'm getting ahead of myself. Leviticus chapter 10. I'm going to probably hit Solomon later, and I'm going to hit him pretty hard. Now, notice this. I'm going to show you something very interesting. We know the story of Nadab and Abihu. They sinned against God. Watch. I'm going to read this again, and then we're going to go to Exodus 24. Now, Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, so they were priests, and the daddy was the high priest. They took their respective fire pans, and after putting fire in them, placed incense on it, and offered strange fire before the Lord. See that? Strange fire. Unauthorized, profane, foreign. It was strange fire, unauthorized, not commanded to do it. They decided to do it their way. They come up with an idea. This is worship now. Now I want you to understand something. They knew better, because notice who their father is, Aaron, the high priest. And I'm going to show you more how I know they knew better. And so when they did that, remember, God designed this, and this is what you do when you get in there. And said, they're doing what they started off doing what God required them to do, but then they developed an idea, a new idea. Let's spruce it up. Let's make it look better. Let's make it smell better. Let's just spruce it up. And they figured that God was satisfied with their idea. We do that. I mean, the way you were singing this morning, it was wonderful. When we're singing praises to God, it's a wonderful feeling. It's wonderful. When my life is connected with God, I'm singing praises. I don't have to do backflips. I don't have to have musical instruments. I don't have to scream and holler if that's my desire. But I'm going to tell you something. You can scream and holler and do backflips, but if your heart is not right with God, it doesn't matter. I remember when I was, years ago, when I was attending Brown Trail, and since I lived in Siegerville, I had to pick up Thomas Warren and carry him to the Brown Trail Church of Christ. He was speaking on lectureship. And I remember watching him sing, because I admired his writings. I did admire. It was like a joy to be sitting in his presence. That was just me. I was young. And it was. And I watched him sing. He's just looking, had his eyes closed. He's, holy, holy, holy. And I never forgot that. I can see him now as I'm talking. I thought, wow. He was singing praises to God. A dedicated man, wrote books for the gospel, stood up for the truth. He was singing praises to God. See, that's what it's all about. It's not about us. It's doing it the way God desires us to do it. And so they had this new idea. And notice what happened. And fire came out from the presence of the Lord, and what happened? Consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Notice where the fire came from. Notice where the fire came from. And fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them. So God saw, remember, God was in the tabernacle. Now, that's how, there's a lot of stuff I don't understand. I'm just going to say that according to, I know God is God, is creator of all things, but that's where he decided to focus and put his focus, because they were doing it according to his will. And Moses spoke with him in the tabernacle. That's how he did it. That's how he designed it. And so he knew what was going on in the tabernacle. God knows what's going on in the church. Revelation, the seven churches of Asia. He knows exactly what's going on. And what happens? Fire comes down from heaven, consumed them, and they died before the Lord God. That was his tabernacle. They're worshiping him. They were worshiping him, but they did it in a way that was not pleasing him, because they made some changes. Then Moses said to Aaron, notice this. It is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I will be treated as holy, and before all the people, I will be honored. And notice this. So Aaron therefore kept silent. Now that's very interesting to me. It shows me what kind of man this was. These were his boys, and they were not little boys. They spent time with their daddy. Moses was their uncle. Miriam was their aunt. They come from a religious family. They knew better. Aaron's sons were dead, consumed by God. And notice what the Bible says. After what Moses said, what he said, so Aaron therefore kept silent. He had to let him go. Nobody, no one comes before God. They made a great mistake, and they paid for it. The Bible says, so Aaron therefore kept silent. God said, I will not be disrespected. But I want to show you this. Exodus 24. Exodus 24, I want to show you that they knew better. They knew better. That was an intentional sin. They sinned intentionally. And in the sin offering and Leviticus chapter 4, that offering was for intentional sin. Or rather, unintentional sin. But this was intentional. So notice, I want to show you Exodus chapter 24. In verse 1. Then he said to Moses, come up to the Lord. Notice this. You and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 elders of Israel, and you shall worship at a distance. See that? Bring your sons. So Moses, you come up. Aaron, the high priest, you come up and bring your two sons, Nadab and Abihu, with you. And 70 elders of Israel. Look at verse 9. You see it again. Then Moses went up with Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and 70 elders of Israel. And they saw the God of Israel, and on his feet there appeared to be pavement of sapphire, as clear as the sky itself. Whoa. So they knew better. They spent time with their daddy. They spent time with their uncle. They were from a religious family. They decided as young people, they are going to do it their way. God did not take that in consideration. God consumed it. In other words, I will not be disrespected, but those who come near me, I will be treated as holy. And before me, all the people, I will be honored. I'm going to tell you something, too. We got to be careful. Is that a lot of denominationalism, a lot of denominations, and I'm going to say that. We have to be careful how we try to follow. Is that a lot of reasons why many worship is now changed because of youth. Let me tell you. The church is not about the youth. The church is not about recreation. I'm a firm believer in recreation activities. I'm a coach, phys ed teacher. What do you think I do all day long? They drive me crazy. But I love it. And so I believe and I understand what it can do, what recreation does, and how it can build up social skills, etc. And it can build the self-concept. I know how to utilize those things. That's not what the Lord's church is all about. The elderly people in the Lord's church who need help. There's poor people in the church that need help. And I can go on and on and on. We have our youth in the church that need help, but what our youth need to do is develop and learn how to be sound and faithful to keep the pattern. And so when the elderly die off, the church will continue to be sound. And see, that's what's happening here in a lot of these worship services. And we're trying to follow, and I say we in general, follow the steps of denominations. And they may be growing, but if God is not pleased when you're tampered with his worship, it doesn't matter. You can have 5,000 people in one building, and 5,000 people could be on their way to Gehenna. In other words, hell. I try to make it sound better. So we have to be careful. They knew better. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Don't go beyond what is written. The Bible teaches that. Stick to those things that we have learned from the beginning, 1 John 2:24. See, they were punished. Now I'm going to show you something else. Now, go to Colossians chapter. Now, I want to go to James. Colossians chapter 2. That's Colossians chapter 2. Now, somebody better tell me when it's time to sit, because I'll be moving around 5 minutes. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 23. Watch this. Colossians chapter 2. I'm going to read verse 13 quickly. And when you were dead in your transgressions and uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us and which was hostile to us, He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he had made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. Therefore, let no one act as your judge in regard to food, drink, or in respect of festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath day, things which are a mere shadow of what is to come. But the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize by delighting in self-abasement and the worship of angels, taking his stand on visions he has seen, inflated without cause by his fleshly mind, and do not holding fast to the head from with whom the entire body, being supplied and held together by the joints, ligaments, grows with a growth which is from God. If you have died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world, why, as if you were living in the world, do you submit yourselves to degrees such as do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, which all refer to things destined to perish with the using in accordance with the commandments and the teachings of men. Watch. These are matters which have, to be sure, the appearance of wisdom in self-made religion. The King James says, will worship. So when you look at that will worship in the Greek, it means voluntary, arbitrary worship. Worship which one devises and prescribes for himself, contrary to the contents and nature of the faith which is to be dedicated to Christ or directed to Christ. That's doing it your way in chapter 3 and verse 6 of Colossians. For it is on account of these things that the wrath of God will come. See, that's why in verse 1 of chapter 3 of Colossians, if you have been raised with Christ, keep seeking those things above where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Verse 2, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. The worship comes from above. The worship of God comes from above. It was in his mind before he created the world. And so if we want to be saved, we have to stick to the pattern. Moses was saved, and Moses was considered a faithful person because he stuck to the pattern. He built the tabernacle. Now, you notice when they left Egypt, millions of people left Egypt. God took them out of Egypt. Now it's time to learn how to sacrifice to worship me, sacrifice to me, to serve me. And how did he do that? He told Moses, this is what you tell the people. And when the people did that, God was satisfied. And when they did not do that, God punished them severely. I'm going to say it again. God punished them severely. Is my time up? I keep saying 5 minutes. I'm trying to. Let me show you something. You know, and the reason why I do that, I have a habit because of Scurry where I preach. Oh, George is back. He does this. And for some reason, my mind is going, I'm looking for this. Nobody's doing this. It's a bad habit. And so, anyway, let's. Now, watch this. Look at James chapter 4. James chapter 4 and verse 9. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord and he will exalt you. Do not speak against one another, brethren. He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge of it. I'm going to stop there. I'm going to deal with this when it's my time to speak again. But I want you to remember these verses. I'm going to show you how they tie in with Solomon did and how they tie into us.